were coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I or anyone try to put some on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth that's found in the word of God. We don't have to be afraid to tell the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to be afraid to stand up for the truth because God is on our side. We don't have to bag up or shut up, but we can stand up and speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ, because when you're getting the truth out the word of God, then God is indeed on your side. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to all of you out there in Radio Land to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. I hope that your day is starting out in a great fashion, in a good way. Regardless how this day have started out for you, just remember that God is still on the throne and prayer still changes things. So this day, it has been made by God, and God has got something good in store for you. And we're just happy to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We got a great program for you this morning in the Situation Room. This is the day that we focus in on Bible questions and answers. And so we got some questions this morning that we're going to try to answer for you. But before we do that, let me give you some contact information just in case you have a Bible question or a marriage question or a question that's pertaining to the Christian life or something that you have heard about or read about in the news and you think it's got some kind of biblical significance, a Bible prophecy or something like that. Send those questions in. You can email me at BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com, BibleWayIrvin@gmail.com, or you can call them in and leave them on my voicemail, 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. All right, let me get my Bible because we got some very good questions today. The first question that we have this morning is, can you lose your salvation? Once saved, are you always saved? Oh, wow, what a question. This is a great question, a question pertaining to salvation. Well, I believe that the Bible teaches the security of the believer. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, not only are you saved, but I believe you also are safe. Not only are you saved, I believe you are safe. And I believe the Bible will bear this out. See, I believe that you are saved and safe because, number one, is the work of the Father. Then number two, the work of the Son. And then number three, the work of the Holy Spirit. I believe the reason that once you are saved, not only are you saved, but you also safe, is because of the work of the Trinity. The work of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Well, let me just go to my Bible because somebody said, oh, he needs to show me that out the Bible. All right. Open your Bible to John chapter 10. If you're somewhere where you can read your Bible now, if not, just write these scriptures down and go back to them later on. John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. Jesus is talking, and Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. We're coming back to that later on at the close of this. Eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Did you notice that? Jesus says, I give to them, verse number 28, I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. So once you're saved, you're in Jesus' hand, but then you're doubly saved and safe because the scripture says, and no man is able to pluck you out of my Father's hands. Isn't that something? Look, Jesus got us in his hand, and then he put us in the Father's hands. How secure can you be? We are greatly secured in God. The Father has secured us, brothers and sisters. Then look over here at Romans chapter 8. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. Just a couple of books over. Romans chapter 8, verse number 30 and 31. Look at what the Bible says again. Romans chapter 8, verses 30 and 31. It says, moreover, whom he did predestine, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. In other words, that word justified means to treat you like you have never sinned. And them, and whom he justified, them he glorified. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? And all of those things that the Father has done for us, like predestinated, has called us, that's ED, past tense. Them he called, he justified, ED, past tense, whom he justified, them glorified, past tense. And so what this let me know is that our salvation is a finished work of God. And the scripture here says in verse number 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who then can be against us? Listen, if you could lose your salvation, those that was justified would not be the same group as the ones that are glorified. See, this let me know that everybody that God predestinated, them he called, that's the same group, and those whom he called, that same group, them he justified, that same group that he justified, them he glorified. Well, if you could lose your salvation, you wouldn't have the same groups. The same people that he called wouldn't be the same people that he justified. But in this case, everybody that God predestinated, them he also called, and everybody that he called, them he justified, and everybody that he justified, them he glorified. All of them is the same group. In other words, it lets us know God didn't lose one along the way. God didn't lose one. Why? Because we are secured by the Father. Not only are we secured by the Father, we are secured even by the Son. Look here at your Bible here. Let's stay right here, even with Romans here, because he asks a question in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who then can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he freely give us all things? And then let's keep reading. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God elect? It is God that justified. So the Father done all the justified. But notice, verse 34, who is he that condemned, that are going to judge us? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercessions for us. Listen, because Jesus died for us, and Jesus is praying for us, then we can't lose our salvation. Because Jesus died. He was the one that died for us. He died for your sins. He paid for your sins. He paid, and they are paid in full. When Jesus died on the cross, remember, he says, it is finished. It's finished. All right, so we see the work of the Father, the work of the Son. Let me get another scripture. John chapter 6. Let's go back over to John. John chapter 6, verse 39. The scripture says in John 6, verse 39, this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given to me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Isn't that something? Listen, Jesus says, everybody that the Father has given to me, Jesus says, I will lose none of them. Listen, let me read that again. He says, all he has given to me, I should lose nothing. What do nothing mean? It means absolutely nothing. Not one. Amen. And then Jesus works as our advocate in 1 John 2 and 1. You can write that verse down. He acts as our advocate. See, when we sin, Satan tries to argue that God undo our salvation. They don't deserve your salvation because they still sinning and what have you. But Jesus steps in and acts as our defense attorney. He shows the Father, says, okay, now, Father, you said if I died for their sin, that you would forgive them. And Jesus shows the marks. He shows them the nail prints in his hands. He shows the spear print in his side. He shows the blood. And the Father let the devil know, saved by the blood of Jesus. So, devil, you don't have nothing that you can say against them, because our sins are under the blood. All right. And then so we see that there's the work of the Father, the work of the Son, but then there's the work of the Holy Ghost. There's the work of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that we are sealed until the day of redemption. And that's Ephesians chapter 4. Verse number 30, Ephesians 4, verse number 30 says we have been sealed until the day of redemption. Listen, if you could lose your salvation, then the Holy Spirit seal is not permanent. It's not permanent, but that's a permanent seal. If you could lose your salvation, then the Bible is not true. But the Bible is true. we are still until the day of redemption. I believe what the Bible says. I don't believe what people say. I believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says we are sealed to the day of redemption. And then write that scripture down. Ephesians 4, verse number 30. Also, I believe you can't lose your salvation because of the nature of the gift of salvation. Salvation is a gift. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you didn't earn your salvation by working, so you can't lose your salvation by the works that you do. You didn't do nothing to get it, and then so you can't do anything to lose it. It's a free gift. What do you do when somebody gives you a gift? It's two things you can do with a gift. You can either accept the gift and say, oh, thank you very much, and accept it, or you can just reject the gift and say, no, thank you, I don't want your gift. And that's what salvation is. Salvation is a gift. That's why John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so whosoever believe in him. It didn't say the ones that's good, the one that went to church, the one that paid the tithes, the one that sung in the choir, the one that preached. No. It says, whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's another reason I believe that salvation, you can't lose your salvation, because the gift is everlasting. The nature of the gift is an everlasting gift. It's an eternal gift. That's why Jesus even said, remember that scripture we read earlier over in John chapter 10? Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life is everlasting life. It's not temporary life. If you can lose your salvation, that means God gave you temporary life. No, but the scripture says we have everlasting life, eternal life. So, to answer your question, can you lose your salvation? No, you cannot lose your salvation. You can't lose it because of the work of the Father, the work of the Son, and the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the nature of that gift is an eternal gift. It's an everlasting gift, salvation. And so once you are saved, you're always saved. And I say that you are not only saved, but you are safe in God. All right, so hopefully that helped you. Let me move on to the next question here. Since I'm saved, will I still have to give an account for my sins on Judgment Day? Since I'm saved, will I still have to give an account for my sins on Judgment Day? Well, that's a yes and a no. Yes, you got to give an account, but not necessarily for your sins. So no, when you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Jesus has already died for your sins. So you don't have to give an account for your sins on Judgment Day. Your sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ. And Jesus paid the penalty for your sins already. See, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2, the Bible says that he is the propitiation for our sins. And the he there is Jesus. Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. That word propitiation is just a big word that basically means satisfaction. Jesus satisfied the demands of God. God's demands was that in order for us to come to heaven, there had to be a payment for our sins, and Jesus paid for our sins with his precious blood and perfect blood. So it means, that word propitiation means satisfaction for sin. Also, Jesus has taken away our sin. Remember John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, and you know, John was baptizing at the Jordan River, and when John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." The Bible says also in Psalms 103 and 12, "As far as the east is separated from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us." So once you are saved, God takes those sins and, as old folks say, cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, where God don't even remember those sins anymore. So no, God won't bring up your sins on judgment day. Well, somebody said, "Well, why do we have to stand before the Lord and give an account?" Well, you got to stand before the Lord and give an account for your works. We don't have to worry about our sins coming up again, because Jesus died for our sin, taking away our sin. But what will be judged is our works. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me show you that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you with me out there in radio land in the Situation Room? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 10. Look at the 10th verse. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And the "we" here is Christians, believers. "For we must all," every Christian, "must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in this body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad." And he's talking about works there, your works, whether they've been good works or whether they've been bad works. Now look here at another verse I want to show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn back over to 1 Corinthians. We was in 2 Corinthians, but let me show you over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Just like on your job, you get a job evaluation. Well, on judgment day, you will have a job evaluation by God. Just like your boss on your job today, he gives you a job evaluation throughout the year, maybe twice a year, maybe once a year. Well, everybody gonna have to stand before God and give an evaluation of the works that you done for the Lord, whether them works was good or whether they was bad. Now look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning with verse number 10. It says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another one build thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereon upon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man work," here it is, "shall be made manifested, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." See, it's all about getting rewards at this point. It's not about salvation, it's about getting rewards. "If any man work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And so what this let us know, God is going to try works on judgment day. He's going to take everything that we have done for him, everything we have done for him, and he's going to try it by fact. Because how many of you know a lot of things we do, we don't really do it from our heart, from the Lord. Sometimes our motives is not quite right on why we do it. Yeah, we sing. Yes, we preach. Yes, we do different things around the church. But are we really, is our motives right for why we are doing that? And so God is going to test all that out. He's going to throw our works in the fire. And if our works are good works, then it's going to come out like gold, precious stone, silver. Gold, silver, a precious stone. That can make it through the fire. So hopefully your works are like gold, precious stone, or silver. But if you got bad works, if your motivations weren't right, your motives weren't right, then those works going to be burnt up. It's going to be just like putting fire to wood and hay and stubble. And so we're going to have to give an account on Judgment Day, not necessarily for our sins, because our sins has already been judged when God judged Jesus on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, our sins has already been judged. But now our works are going to come up under evaluation. And so all Christians are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll receive an evaluation. And my hope and prayer is that everybody who's listening to me out there in radio land, when you stand before God and give an account before God, that you will receive a good reward, because your works will make it through the fire. Yes, that's why the songwriter says, it's only what you do for Christ will pass. These other things won't last, but it's only what you do for Christ that's going to pass and that will last. All right. Well, that's our study this morning. We hope and pray that these Bible questions has helped you and will strengthen you on your Christian journey. So thank you again for joining us this morning in the Situation Room. Well, let me encourage you now to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember, our format here at KLITB is at the top of the hour, we minister in the Word, and at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. So at 9 o'clock, we'll take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon that I preached right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, and it'll make you face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we'll take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of our Wednesday night Bible study. Ooh, we have folks who come from all over the Metroplex who are not even members of our church, but they love our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, if you missed any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell somebody about us, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room. God bless you. Have a good day.